Greetings, brethren, wherever you are around the world. Some of you in Australia will see this about a week later and in other countries as well. I'm still here at the desk. I have just now completed a special television program. I was interrupted in my flight to Norfolk, Virginia yesterday morning. I'm doing this on a Wednesday, by the way. This is Wednesday, the 12th. Yesterday was that day which will live in infamy, the 11th of September. I was at 37,000 feet, as I've said in the television program. I won't repeat that because you're going to be able to see it anyway. When I was interrupted by having to land emergency landing in Little Rock, Arkansas, finally got back home after a trying day at midnight, got up at 5 o'clock and been working ever since. This morning when I got up, it was too late to call last night, I thought, to the Summerfield residents up in New York, but Mr. Larry Summerfield and his family, the host up there for a small group that meets in the Manhattan area, I knew were probably the closest people that I knew of to that tragedy. I asked them to write up their personal experiences and to send them down to me, and I want to preface what I have to say with the letter that I received by email this morning from James Summerfield, their son, whom I saw over in Lexington recently at our regional seminar over there, and he gave one of the icebreaker speeches, and we were with the Summerfield family over there. Dear Mr. Armstrong, shortly after my arrival at work yesterday, a coworker called and said in a shaken voice that a plane had crashed into one of the towers. She lives 20 to 25 short blocks away, and by the way, James Summerfield, Summerville was only about 50 blocks away in the office in Midtown Manhattan where he works. She later said she heard a plane fly over or near her apartment. She then went to the window and saw the first plane crash into the first tower. She then saw flames and enveloping smoke. I then called my mother and father. We live in Queens on the opposite side of East River. If you've ever been to New York, that's very close. The East River is not very wide. You can see very clearly right across to Manhattan. On the 15th floor, they live, of a building overlooking the east side of Manhattan. We have a clear, unobstructed view of the east side, including downtown and the World Trade Center. I told my mother that a plane had just crashed into one of the towers. She turned toward the window and saw the smoke and fire. She quickly looked at the TV, remarked to Dad that the second plane was apparently flying low, and then turned toward the window again just as the second plane crashed into the second tower. My parents saw the towers collapse. I can't imagine. I saw that on television, and it was all I could bear. It was all I could do to keep my emotions from just going absolutely berserk and crying and wringing my hands like everybody else. I started to cry, grabbed control of myself, and just said, "That's Bin Laden, and this is absolutely horrible," and so on. Talked to a few of the people there, and then tried to get about my business to see if I could get my baggage, if we're going to continue on, if I was coming home or continue on to Norfolk, or what I was going to do. My parents saw the towers collapse. I was at work. I work on 46th Street and 3rd Avenue, a few blocks from the United Nations, which is about 40 to 50 short blocks from the World Trade Center. We saw the smoke from our windows on the 8th floor. Manhattan is situated on a grid, so you can see north, south, east, and west. As the radio reports confirmed that planes crashed into the WTC, and then the Pentagon, and then into a field in Pennsylvania, we were dumbfounded. We didn't know how to react. We were like zombies, either sitting in our cubicles or walking around and talking to each other in disbelief. I left one of the outer boroughs of New York City. I left work at 12 p.m. Thousands of other people were walking uptown to a bridge connecting Manhattan to Queens, one of the outer boroughs of New York City. I did not see anyone panic. People were complying with the directions of the many cops, cadets, and other city workers. Others, like myself, went to blood banks. Bless his heart. He went immediately to a blood bank, where the response was, according to one worker, overwhelming. And lots by the thousands, they were waiting in line for hours to give blood. As I walked across the bridge over the East River with thousands of other people into Queens, I looked toward the carnage. I saw a mountain of smoke slowly drifting across the river. It was surreal. Aside from the thousands walking across the bridge, the sirens and occasional F-16s flying above it, it was a picture-perfect day. The sun was bright, the air and water were still, it was about 80 degrees. On the north side of Manhattan, the other side of the bridge, everything looked normal. On the other side, chaos. I and my brother-in-law work in Manhattan. We don't know anyone personally affected, at least not yet, although there may be those who may be members of one or other of the churches that are in that area and may be lost. We do not know yet. My sister works in Queens in a school. Her co-workers were affected. Amy Driscoll was about to be married by a priest who was killed. Amy Furstendig's husband, I think that's correct pronunciation, was opening the door to one of the towers as the first plane hit, and he lived. Diane Graf's brother worked at the World Trade Center. She was hysterical when she heard the news. She tried to contact her brother, but was unsuccessful. She then turned to the TV and saw her brother running or walking quickly past one of the cameras stationed nearby. Isn't that a godsend and a wonderful, miraculous thing that out of all of those tens of thousands of people, she's worried about her brother and sees him running by? According to my brother-in-law, who's at work, Manhattan is like a ghost town. This morning, that's right now today, I'm doing this on a Wednesday, the 12th, and I just got this morning after I had earlier, still dark early here, called the Summerfields. This morning, I looked out the window of my apartment and saw smoke shaped like a mountain over downtown Manhattan. Downtown Manhattan looks a lot shorter. As of this writing, the three buildings comprising WTC have collapsed. Some of the surrounding buildings, like the Millennium Hotel, many seem unstable and may collapse. My father will try to send you two area newspapers, the New York Post and the New York Daily News. One of the more haunting pictures is that of silhouetted figures jumping. Oh, yes, I saw that. Saw the bodies falling live as they were jumping. Just breaks your heart. Jumping out, no chance. Horrible fires raging below them, fires raging above them. They knew they were going to die by burning to death. They chose crashing to death, jumping out of the building. One of the more haunting pictures is that of silhouetted figures jumping from the towers, from the higher floors, some seemingly 60 to 90 stories high. He will try to FedEx them to you, but due to air restrictions, I'm not sure when you'll receive them. Thank you for your concern. We also appreciate many, many telephone calls from other concerned brethren, James Somerville, and I talked to his father again this morning, so our hearts to go out to them, to all of the people, but especially to those that were actually involved in this hideous, rotten, dirty, bloodthirsty, mind-boggling, evil attack against the United States by these fanatic, hate-filled, Satan-inspired, demon-possessed, possibly, Arabs, Islamic fundamentalists, who practice some kind of a form of religion that tells them that if they, screaming out, God is great, glory to God, kill thousands of other people while they are taking their own lives, that they're guaranteed some kind of instantaneous admittance into heaven. You know where they're instantaneously going to be in the next shock of their consciousness? They're going to be in the second resurrection. And you and I, but more importantly by far, the people aboard the plane will be resurrected at that same time. And those in the trade towers will be resurrected at that same time. And they will be able to face the ones who did that to them. And if you and I are there as members of the very family of God, 1,000 and more years from now, knowing what we will know by that time, having been born of God, brought into the very kingdom of God at the end of this tumultuous, traumatic time that is yet ahead of us, and we may be seeing the very beginning of the Great Tribulation, as I said in the television program and held this up time and again, has it begun? The beginning of the Great Tribulation is prophesied. We will then be able to administer true justice and to reach the minds and hearts of these perverted, twisted, hate-filled, vitriolic people who have been taught from the very beginning of their lives that this is the way they should act. I quoted, and I won't do it now because you would have seen in the television program, refer back to what I said about some of these people in the Middle East who are dancing in the streets and just rejoicing or doing it right now while I'm talking about this tragedy and congratulating one another. And somewhere, in certain places here and there, probably in Afghanistan, maybe in Iran, Iraq, maybe in Syria, maybe Lebanon, maybe Egypt, maybe other countries, and here in the United States, yes, there are those who are toasting, congratulating themselves, slapping each other on the back. They are so proud of what they have done to take all these lives. And if this is not Satan the devil having great wrath coming down to this earth, but he knows that he has but a short time, then I don't know what kind of a huge, staggering loss of life, what kind of a satanic attack it requires to wake up God's people and to make them realize the times in which we live. I would have to go back now and ask someone to research whether it was last Sabbath, right here in Tyler, or the Sabbath before. But it was one or the other where I threw in, just as an aside, what I said in the television program, that there is information from some of these underground clandestine news sources that you have not seen in the major media that a great something big was about to happen in the United States, a great attack which would, quote, make the Murrah building in Oklahoma City look like a walk in the park, end quote. I can't believe how quickly it happened. And even though all of us who express heartbreak, shock, horror, disbelief, a deep abiding sense of outrage and anger, one thing we are not, are we now? We are not surprised. We were not taken by surprise. Because we have known, we have been warned, we know that things like this are going to happen. We had no idea they would happen on this scale. We had no idea that after an unsuccessful attempt to bring those buildings down by that bombing attempt a couple of years ago or more, that these very same people, because the fingerprints, the imprint, I think, the signature, as they say, of Bin Laden is there, would actually succeed. And they have been planning it ever since. They have been busily planning behind the scenes to bring this off. They've recruited the people. Can you believe the coordination of getting aircraft that they knew would be full of fuel from Boston to L.A. and diverting them that very short distance to New York City, where they would get the maximum effect of a full load of tens of thousands of pounds of kerosene, of jet fuel, in a 767, 757, huge, big Boeing aircraft, and murder all of these people, these helpless civilians who were simply going about their workaday business. It is just absolutely mind-boggling. Well, as the President of the United States called upon the people of the United States to come together, so I call upon all of you people out there, wherever you are and whoever you are, it doesn't matter, who have your lower lips cranked out, who feel petulant, feel hurt, feel put upon, feel that others have done you wrong, feel like you haven't gotten a square shake, like you haven't gotten the best of it, feel like you are somehow beleaguered and hurt with all these little petty feelings between and among people, I urge you to get on your knees and pray to your God in heaven and ask for His forgiveness for any and all of those feelings, to expunge them from your mind by the power of God's Holy Spirit, and for God's people to come together. Now, if I think for one minute that my television program and my announcing that to our own church is going to cause all these 250 little splinter groups all over the United States and around the world who split away from the worldwide church, who backed straight into the mainstream and began to get the sign of the cross and the so-called Trinity and every one of the false doctrines that my father absolutely demolished decades ago, and that every one of these people was taught and proved it from their own Bible for decades, and many of them with an Ambassador College experience, they knew that there is no immortal soul. They knew there is no ever-burning hell. They knew you don't go to heaven when you die. They know who Israel is and still know it, even though they deny it. They know that God is a family and not a Trinity. They know the Sabbath is God's law. They knew the Sabbath was in force and effect before Sinai. They know that Jesus Christ is the God of the Old Testament. They know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They know that the first great edict is that all nations are going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and yet for reasons that are so obscure you can't figure them out and I can't, those young people who took charge of that church when my father died have destroyed it. They've absolutely demolished it, taken it from 100% down to about 20% or less, and they have left groups by the hundreds all over the world, and never the twain shall meet. And all of them trying to do some kind of a work, going off in every conceivable direction, sometimes publishing beautiful magazines, but with pablum between their pages. They're not witnessing, and they're not warning, and they're not doing the work of God Almighty. If some of these people who crank out their lips and get petulant, and people that fight and argue, and people that are continually just reading what the other guy is doing, think that they have a commission from Almighty God in heaven above to do His work, I would sure like to hear about it. I know one or two of them are self-deceived. I know one man that really thinks he's got a great commission. Well, I did not have any red-headed brother around my household that I didn't know about. My father is my father. He's not somebody else's father. And I am his natural heir and his successor spiritually and in every other way that you can imagine. Every gift I have of speech or anything else, my father gave me. And I'm continuing to do the same work, and I have not deviated one iota from the truths that Almighty God revealed to that man I have been given from God and through His graciousness some additional deeper understandings about the Feast of Tabernacles and some other things, but I have made no major changes and do not intend to with regard to the fundamental underpinnings and the doctrines of God's church. It is time for you people to put aside your petty differences. It is time to get on your knees and pastime and to call out to God. It's time to write letters, send cards, get on the telephone and say, please forgive me. It's time to put your arms around each other, and it's almost time to go to the feast. And this is going to be a feast in one sense under a cloud, and yet in another, the most meaningful feast we have ever had. I've had some news that some people are planning on having a separate little feast somewhere, not going to Tahoe. I said in my email, and all of you probably didn't get that, don't do that. Be together. Go to the festival site that is designated by the Intercontinental Church of God. Go where the area coordinators and festival coordinators are holding the Feast of God. They need you there. Your brethren and sisters need you there. Drop your little petty disagreements. Drop whatever you feel toward people. You don't know the full story. You don't have all the facts. Quit leaping to conclusions. And begin to come together in the love of Almighty God, in the Spirit of God, and in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you will do that, we will truly come together as a church and have the greatest feast ever. I wish I could speak to all of you via closed circuit this Sabbath. I can't, God willing. And if the plane gets me there safely, and I certainly am going to cooperate 100% with all the security people, then, long before you see this tape, I will have made a trip to Norfolk, Virginia, and return safely home, I hope. I give my life into God's hands every day, as I'm sure you do. God bless every one of you, brethren. I love you all. I appreciate your help and your support, and I certainly need it now, as I've never needed it before.